You see, our actions do manifest who we really are. Faith does work. Look at James chapter 2. True faith, true saving faith will produce something in the life of a believer. And he said, I know God's going to complete this work in you.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
Greg, you've entitled today's message, Encouragement for the Struggle. Tell us why you chose that title.
Well, Dave, we're going to have to wait till we get into the text. So with that in mind, turn with us to Philippians chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 3 through 8.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Be steadfast, immovable, always doing your own thing every day. Right? No. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Your toil is not in vain. Are you serving Christ with your life, your money, whatever it might be, serving Him with everything you have wholeheartedly? Be encouraged. Your toil is not in vain. So then, I believe Paul, first of all, encourages these Philippians by revealing his continual thankfulness for God's work in them because they are co-sharers, are participants in the gospel work. And if you are serving and giving in that context with a right heart as God leads you, you are a co-participant in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's thankful. And I believe they were encouraged, and I believe we should be encouraged if that's our case. Well, notice secondly, he also reveals a tremendous reality concerning his absolute confidence about the future. Not only are they a blessing to him from the first day until now, the future is bright, as we're going to see, gloriously bright. Because God will complete the work he began in them, because they are co-sharers of the grace of God. Now that gets into the reality of God's grace. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all in view of your participation in the gospel from this first day until now. For I am confident, and by the way, just a note there, you know, when someone says they're saved and there's no fruit, it doesn't cause you to thank God for them, right? When you see that fruit, you're thankful, and Paul did. And notice he says here, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Here we come to a very familiar and often quoted verse. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, before we look at this portion here, we need to see its relationship to what was just spoken of. Now, in this version, we have a for, which speaks of an explanation. But in the original language, this phrase, for I am confident, is really one participle. What does that mean? Some versions translate it this way, and I actually think the New King James does a good job, and also the NIV, which is not always the best. The NESB probably missed it here in a sense. You could translate this literally in verse 6, having been confident, and it's a perfect tense, in the past, and I still am confident. Having been absolutely confident in the past, done deal, I still am confident. I still am confident. So you start a sentence with having something, right? Or running, or whatever it might be. It's connected to what was spoken earlier. What was spoken earlier. So here he says, basically, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, having been fully confident in the past and still confident today of this very thing. Confident of this very thing. The term confident means being convinced, fully convinced, absolutely sure. Absolutely sure. Well, what is Paul absolutely sure of? What was he sure of in that perfect tense in Greek? Completed action in the past with results continuing in the present. What was he perfectly sure of in the past that still he is perfectly sure of? That he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. What a wonderful statement that we need to be reminded of. And they needed it and we need it, or it wouldn't be written here. Let's take a look at this wonderful statement and make some observations. First of all, notice it is God who began the good work. He who began a good work in you. The work of salvation is not on the outside, it is on the inside. Our souls are saved first, we are redeemed, and later on our bodies will be glorified. He who began, it's not done. God is not done yet. He who began a good work. We know how he began that work. We looked at it in Acts chapter 16. The gospel went out, they heard the gospel, they heard the word of God, and they responded and believed in Jesus Christ. That's when the work began. You see, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And the gospel is God's work alone. It's not man's work. There's nothing you can do to be saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We know from the book of Titus that it is God who saves us. He who began a good work. He who began a good work in you. Salvation is a good work. It is supremely good from a supremely good God to take wretched sinners destined for hell, deserving of his wrath, which God has to pour out because he is just. And then God sent his only son in place to die for us. And when you trust in him, you are delivered from darkness into his marvelous light. You are forgiven your sins and you receive eternal life. It's a good work, but it's only begun. And we need to be encouraged because we live in this duality of the dead man, the old flesh, and the redeemed man, right, on the inside, man or woman. It's done in you, the good work in you. Has God begun a good work in you? It can happen today. The good work can begin today, and it has a glorious end. But notice, not only is the beginning of salvation supremely important, the beginning of salvation leads to its ultimate, absolute completion. The good work that God has began in you, God will complete. For I am confident of this very thing, or literally, having been and still confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. It's going to perfect it or complete it. The term perfect speaks of completing successfully, bringing to an end, finishing. These incredible, encouraging words, because we can be discouraged when we fail. Very discouraged. The Apostle Paul summed up the reality of the battle with his flesh, which he couldn't overcome on his own. He needed someone to set him free. Who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, I do the things I don't want to do. We know that, right? We want to be holy. We want to do the right thing, but we fail. We do the things we don't want to do. And he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, right? You see, Jesus Christ set us free. And then Romans 8 after Romans 7 is a discourse on glory. First of all, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then the wonderful reality of what is going to happen if indeed we are truly saved, thus suffering with him. Turn to Romans chapter 8. You see, we've been saved in Jesus Christ. The work has begun, but it's not complete yet. And he's going to complete it. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. And I could read the whole chapter, but let me just read part of it. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Amen. I believe he does that through the Word of God, by the way. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, or God's heirs, right? Literally say it that way. And fellow or joint heirs with Christ. If indeed We suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it in hope. That the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth until now. And not only this, but we ourselves having the first fruit to the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, don't we? Right? Waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body, right? For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Our bodies have not been redeemed. We are still in these sinful, corrupted, dying bodies. But God's going to complete the work. We're going to be, as we're going to see, glorified. He's referring to the work that God began in the Philippians, and he says he will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. What's this day of Christ Jesus? What is he speaking of here? Some say it's the day of the Lord, and many others would say it's probably not the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is God's eschatological judgment upon sinners in which he purges and saves Israel. It's about judgment. But this day of Christ Jesus specifically seems to relate to the completion of the salvation in the body of Christ. This day of Christ Jesus seems to relate to the finishing of the job. Folks, we see in Scripture that when Christ comes for his bride, the church, when the body of Christ is taken to be with the Lord in the air, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, at this point the body of Christ is given resurrection bodies and salvation is complete. When Jesus Christ comes for us, if we're still alive, or if he brings our souls with him, if we've perished, then we're going to be glorified that day, in the day of Christ Jesus. Tremendous, wonderful realities. We see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that we should comfort one another with these words for what Christ is going to do. You can read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, turn there. The Lord is going to finish the work. What we struggle with will be no more. It'll be gone. It'll be gone. It'll be changed. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that speaks of physical death, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable, which means corrupted, destined for death in a sense, mortal, must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet appeared what we shall be. We know that when he appears, that's the day of Christ Jesus, I believe, when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him just as he is. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, we see the same truth. Our citizenship is not on this earth, although we have earthly citizenship. Our true citizenship is in heaven, where we eagerly await for something. We're awaiting this. We're awaiting the completion that God has promised. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is the completing of the work, by the way. Who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, with the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. The work of salvation, glorifying us, no more sin, no more sorrow, no more tears, will happen. He's begun it. It's a good work. Now, we're in the process right now of sanctification, where he is teaching and training us to be more like his son. He is setting us apart from sin. He is making us more like his son, Jesus. But there will be the day when he absolutely completes it. What a wonderful truth. He will complete the work that he began. Now, unfortunately, some people have used this verse to encourage people to continue on in sin because he'll complete the work. No big deal. But that's not the heart of the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit. Yes, he's going to complete it in true believers' lives. But that should motivate us to glory and to be more like Christ now, not to take advantage of his grace. May we never do that. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue to sin that grace may increase? May it never be. Never have that attitude. You see, we should be becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And the fact that he will complete the work is a motivation to continue that process now. And there are eternal consequences for what we do in this life. There are. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So yes, he will complete the work. We'll be glorified, but there is something glorious about the process of getting there. We have the privilege to serve him now and to bring forth eternal things that will honor and glorify him forever and bless us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Therefore, we have also as our ambition, whether at home or absent, home is in our bodies or absent, that's with the Lord, to be pleasing to him. For, here's why we need to be pleasing and have that desire, because something's going to happen. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed or rewarded for his deeds in the body. That's now, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul is trying to address the pride of the Corinthians. Basically, his main point will be that, you know, we're nothing. And you think we are, but we're not. You even think you're elevating people in ministry. I'm of this person, I'm of that person. No, 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 no. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than that one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, 1 Corinthians 3:13, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it, that's the foundation of Jesus Christ, by the way, remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. My point is, getting back to our passage, Paul is absolutely confident that he's going to complete that work. And brothers and sisters, if you're truly saved, he's going to complete that work. It's going to be done. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. We are on our way to glory. Be encouraged. But that should motivate us to be like him now. And notice why he has the confidence as we'll finish up. Look at verse 7, back in chapter 1 of Philippians. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. He says literally, just as it is only right to think of you, to think, not feel, but to think this, on behalf of you. It's not a feeling he has. They translate it feeling, but it's only right to me to think this. That's the word. Now, certainly feelings can come from our thoughts, but he's not saying I've got the warm fuzzies about you, so you're going to make it to heaven. That's not what he's saying. He's saying it's only right for me to think this because something of what I see. Because I have you in my heart, and he says with the following, since both in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. Since my imprisonment And then obviously that's for the gospel. And his defense, he had to lay a defense for the gospel, right? And the term confirmation speaks of legal verification of the gospel. He proved it's true. He says, you are all partakers of grace. He's saying the way that you functioned in the midst of these things with me is an evidence you are co-sharers of the grace of God. You partake it with me. The term here is soon koinonia, speaks of co-sharing. He says, you are all co-sharers of grace. Their loving actions in regard to Paul are another evidence that they have truly been saved and have partaken of the grace of God. You see, our actions do manifest who we really are. Faith does work. Look at James chapter 2. True faith, true saving faith will produce something in the life of a believer. And he's saying, I know God's going to complete this work in you. It's in my heart. I know you guys are saved. And how you have, from my imprisonment, defense, confirmation of the gospel, you are all co-sharers of God's grace. Are you a co-sharer of God's grace? Is it an evidence in your life? You co-share? Notice he says here, he has a godly affection that comes from the Lord here because of this truth. Verse 8, for God is my witness, how I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. He's going to explain, and he calls God to be his witness. This isn't flattery, it's the truth. God is my witness. How I long for you with the affection. The term affection speaks of bowels or internal organs, and it speaks of just an internal heart affection. He says, God is my witness that I have an affection or the affection of Christ Jesus for you. I really love you guys. It's from Christ. God is my witness. The Apostle Paul has observed the fruit in the Philippian church. And it relates to him in ministry. It relates to him in their defense of the gospel with him. He's observed the fruit. He's confident that good work which he observed in the beginning, that God will complete that good work. Now my question to you today is, if someone was looking at your life, would they be confident the good work began? And are you following the Lord? Is there evidence that would make one confident that you truly know him, and thus that work will be completed? The Lord is gracious. If you've truly come to faith in Jesus Christ, he has begun a good work in you. And brothers and sisters, he will complete it. We are on our way to glory. And so as we fail, yes, we should have a right attitude towards our failures, and we need to confess them. But we need to stand up again, turn to the Lord, follow and walk with him, because we're on our way to glory.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the moments we have left in today's broadcast, help me understand how I can best cooperate with the Holy Spirit to bring about the changes that I long to see in my own life.
Well, Dave, remember that transformation comes from within, not from without. So external behavioral changes will not accomplish the lasting, positive life change that you're looking for.
Ultimately, the work Christ started when he saved us will not be completed till we die or he comes for us. We're a work in progress, and my prayer for you is that you will allow him to continue that glorious work, that you will abide in him, that you will trust in him and obey him, and you will find encouragement for your struggle.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.